Hi, Bob Cole here from Bob and Ron's Worldwide Stereo, here to welcome you, fellow diehard, to the purest, most insightful, no bullshit, smartest sports talk in town.
Now, back to Cal Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Well, Portland, Oregon, and Slow Gin Fizz, if that ain't love, then tell me what is,
C block now, or as we call it, 10cc on Count Pointer Count. John Wilkerson here with you. Remember Jerry Glanville? Well, he's back in the spotlight and stirring up football passions in Portland, Oregon. Glanville, whose head coaching stops include the Houston Oilers and the Atlanta Falcons, is now in the college game, taking over at Portland State out of the Big Sky Conference. And the Vikings are getting more than just a football coach. They are getting a salesman. A born salesman.
I talked to Mouse, and Mouse told me he had somebody that might be interested in the job. And I got Jerry's resume faxed to me about an hour later. So I called him up, and I said, okay, is Mouse laying a joke on me here, or are you really serious? And he was dead serious about the position. And I said, okay, well, we're going to have a serious conversation. And we talked for probably an hour the first time, and then maybe about half an hour a little bit later. And he called back that night, and so I talked to my wife, and June and Mouse have said nothing but great things about not just Portland State, but the city of Portland. So it's my pleasure to introduce to you, Jerry Glanville.
It's great to be here, and I'm very proud to represent your school and your football team, and proud to be a member of this city, really, and the city's tremendous. I don't think since I got here that I wake up any morning that I'm not more proud than I was the day before to be here. We're living right downtown. I can look out my window and see the streetcar. We have a dog. Everybody in the Pearl has a dog. We looked around and we asked the people in the Pearl, can you bring a dog? Well, you can't come down here without a dog. So the city's the best kept secret. Don't tell everybody in California, they'll come up. Keep it quiet.
Mouse Davis, who coached the Vikings in the late 70s, and rolled up yards and points consistently, returns as offensive coordinator, and together, Glanville and Davis are selling the Vikes to the city.
Hi, I'm Jerry Glanville.
And I'm Mouse Davis.
And we need you next fall for 5 days at PGE Park, where we'll have the hardest team defense
and highest scoring offense
in the Big Sky. Now let's go have some fun. Get your season tickets now for as low as $60 by calling 1-888-FIGHT-TICKS.
Joining us from Portland, Oregon is Jim Besita, who is the Portland State beat writer for the Oregonian newspaper. And Jim, first of all, can you give us a kind of a perspective of Portland State football, the program prior to when Jerry Glanville arrived?
Well, you know, the Portland State has a lot of success at the 1AA level when Mouse Davis was there, as you mentioned before. And then Tim Walsh came on board, and they went up in classification, and, you know, they had some success, but not the success that Portland State fans had been used to. They joined the Big Sky Conference and sort of continually or almost perennially took a back seat to Montana and couldn't quite get over the hump to where they got into the playoff picture very often. In fact, they only made one postseason appearance in Tim Walsh's, I think it was a 9-year tenure at Portland State. So the program had kind of plateaued and was seen as going downhill. Local interest had declined. Attendance was down at games, while interest in the Division I schools in the state, Oregon and Oregon State, has been on the rise. Portland State has definitely been on the decline. When Tim Walsh decided to take a job at the military academy, Army, he became one of the coordinators there. There was an opening, and Jerry Glanville just more or less fell into the Vikings' lap.
Well, when you found out that that occurred, that they were looking at Jerry Glanville and he took the job, I mean, what was your first reaction when you heard that? Here's a guy that coached in the pros, was having some success over at University of Hawaii as defensive coordinator, now he's back as head coach. What were you thinking that he would take over a 1AA job at what, at age 65? I believe that's how old he is.
Yeah, 65 years old, and I mean, I was shocked when his name surfaced at first. I mean, I guess it's not that unusual that someone who's been a head coach and is now an assistant doesn't want to be a head coach again. But why it in the big sky, you know, why resurface in the big sky? I would think that there would be bigger programs out there that might be interested in talking to a guy like Jerry Glanville. But when I heard his name, my first reaction really from being a Portland native myself was, hey, if this guy is really interested in coaching Portland State, then Portland State should just, I mean, it was pretty much a no-brainer, I figured, is that this guy would be just the thing that the program needed. I mean, there was some serious talk of the football program possibly going under at Portland State. And, I mean, the interest, not only the interest on a citywide level, but interest with boosters and the people who really make programs go, was starting to waver a little bit. Well, when Jerry Glanville got into the picture, interest skyrocketed. And like I said, for the school, it was pretty much a no-brainer. Now, I don't know what he demanded in terms of a salary or even how long he intends to be here, but Jerry Glanville's arrival has been a huge shot in the arm for the school, for the city, just for football in general. And really, you know, his interest in the program was spurred by June Jones, the Hawaii head coach, who's a former Portland State quarterback, and Mouse Davis, who told him, you know, there's an opening there in Portland. You owe it to yourself to at least go check it out. And so he came on their recommendation to look at the city, to look at the school. And he said, after meeting with the university president and the interim athletic director, he was pretty much sold on that this was something that he might really be interested in. And I don't think he thought that on the plane ride over from Hawaii. I really think he was just trying to appease June and Mouse, you know, when they told him that he was going to love it. I don't think he really believed it until he got here and saw what Portland State, what the makeup of the community and the school is all about.
We're talking to Jim Becido, the Oregonian, the Portland State beat writer, talking about Jerry Glanville taking over the Vikings. And I think kind of the culmination, Jim, of at least in the short term, or what Jerry's doing with the program, Coach Glanville's doing with the program, I guess kind of occurred at the spring football game. First of all, how many people showed up at the spring football game last year? I'm looking in front of me. You had over 2,000 this year. Was that just a huge boost in attendance for a spring football game?
Yeah, this was the first time, too, in recent years that the spring game had been held at PG Park, which is the Vikings' home stadium in downtown Portland. In previous years, what they had done is kind of taken the spring game to different high schools and different sections of the city to try to, you know, maybe drum up a little support that way. And what you would get is maybe a few hundred, 400, 500 people to show up maybe out in Hillsboro on the west side or Gresham on the east side of Portland, you know, for the spring game. Well, this year, being in the stadium, they promoted it. It was an event. It was, you know, come meet Jerry Glanville, come pick out your season ticket seats. And there was little over 2,000 people there. They were hoping for 3 because that's what Oregon and Oregon State had drawn for their spring game. And Jerry wanted to have the biggest spring game in the state. And he didn't quite reach that goal, but they did meet their goal for season tickets that they hoped to sell at that event. And, you know, all signs point toward, I mean, the possibility of them doubling what they drew in attendance a year ago, and I think they drew close to 6,000 or 7,000 last season. So, you know, that, and even 14,000, I mean, at this level, that's pretty remarkable. But, you know, the spring game itself, it was the ones against the twos. And in the first half, the ones, I think they scored something like 65 points and ran up close to 500 yards total offense just in the first half. And then in the second half, they used a running clock, so it wasn't quite as the statistics weren't quite as impressive. But I think they showed what people can look forward to come September, and it is going to be an entertaining brand of football. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
We got about 20 seconds left. Real quickly, Jim, the preseason football poll for the Big Sky Conference came out. Portland State predicted to be second in the league, battling with University of Montana. Pretty accurate for this year for the Vikings?
Well, you know, I think so. I think they'll challenge for that top spot, but, you know, there's a lot of question marks yet, a lot of uncertainty. I mean, Jerry Glanville inherited a roster full of players who were not exactly built for the run and shoot, so it may take him a little while to adapt. Tim Walsh, the outgoing coach, looked at this schedule and said that there's 9 wins on it. So if Jerry can come in and fulfill that prophecy, then who knows? Maybe the Vikings will win their first Big Sky Conference championship under Jerry Glanville.
Well, I think the fans in Portland are going to see some really good football, wide-open football. I covered the Big Sky for 3 years. I remember how wide-open it is, and I'm sure it's going to be fun to watch for the fans. Jim, I appreciate you joining us today and enlightening us on Jerry Glanville's impact on college football there in Portland. Appreciate it.
You bet, John. Anytime.
Okay, coming up next, it's J-Dub with a racism report. You'll hear from me a little later on the F-Troop as we hear from Alabama head football coach Nick Saban. Count Pointer Count continues after this.
Brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 866-697-5821. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 866-697-5821 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 866-697-5821. That's 866-697-5821.
Have you ever had a diet fail because you were hungry all the time?
If you have, don't worry. It's not your fault. It's almost impossible to lose weight if you're always hungry. Hi, I'm Scott Johnson.
And I'm Steve Bostic. We're the creators of Right Size Smoothies. The secret is a cutting-edge appetite manager called Appamine.
It's in the smoothie. You drink the smoothie, it knocks out your appetite, it helps you burn more calories than you take in safely and without being hungry.
And that's what leads to weight loss. I just talked to someone who ordered Right Size. Her name is Anne, and she's already lost 17 pounds.
Because it's such a great product, we're going to do something crazy here. We're going to let you try Right Size Smoothies free for 2 full weeks.
Just call within the next 15 minutes, and our operators are going to tell you how you can try our smoothies free. See how it works for you, and either you lose the weight or you'll never pay for them.
Available at Albertsons or for your free trial. Call 888-360-1716. 888-360-1716. 888-360-1716.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's time for the OSG Pit Stop with Brother J-Dub.
Buggity, 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 boys! Let's go racing!
My friend Guido, he dreamed to give a real race car a pit stop.
Pit stop? No pit stoppo. Comprendo?
Okay.
I'm dropping the hammer.
No, you're not.
I tell you what you do. You just take them dang old spark plugs out, and then that little hole, you just put a little hole around there, just like Bobby Unser said, just like it'd go boom, boom, just like that.
Get the pace car! What for?
because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Hey, shake and bake, gal. Woo! Shake and bake!
Now, the host of Count Pointer Count, Brother J-Dub.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the OSG Pit Stop here on Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio and the World Internet Radio Network. I am Brother J-Dub. We've got a busy show for you here today, but NASCAR took the week off, so you won't be hearing a lot out of the Nextel Cup Series. But I'm going to start this week with some IRL racing. Danica Patrick pointed to a multi-car incident at the start of the inaugural Honda 200 at Mid-Ohio presented by Westfield Insurance as her opportunity lost. And indeed, there were as many twists and turns to this race as corners on this 2.258-mile Mid-Ohio sports car course. Everyone impacted the results in front of an appreciative overflow crowd at the venerable facility. Here's the recap of the Honda 200, courtesy of ESPN.com.
IndyCar doing some road course racing in Lexington, Ohio. Danica Patrick starting second, trying to win at the Honda 200, her first career win, gunning for that. But on the very first lap, Tony Kanaan, her teammate, gets into Danica, then hits Marco Andretti, whose car flips. Andretti never had a chance to get out of the way of Kanaan. And Andretti, luckily, woo, you see that there, would walk away, the youngster. Now, flashing back, his father, Michael, crashed at the same turn way back in 1998. That one looked a lot scarier than Marco's flip today, but Papa would also walk away unscathed. 10 laps to go now. As we get back to today, Dario Franchitti, Scott Dixon neck and neck. Franchitti, the points leader, pits for fuel. These two have been at it the past few weeks. Franchitti comes out of the pitch and Dixon blows past him. Final lap, it's Scott Dixon all alone winning for the third straight time in the series. His ninth career win. He wins the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. It's an inaugural event there for Scott Dixon. It's got to be sweet. However, for Dario Franchitti, he finishes second. Again, Elio Castroneves finishes third. Danica Patrick, looking to become the first ever woman to win an Indy Series, was bumped on that first lap by teammate Tony Kanaan, never recovered. Kanaan finished fourth. Patrick finished fifth.
Dixon, the race winner, was celebrating his 27th birthday on race day. He is now looking for his fourth consecutive victory. That's happened twice before. In 1998, Kenny Brack started 10th and finished 5th at Texas looking for his fourth consecutive victory. Did not lead a single lap. In 2005, Dan the Battling Brit Weldon started 8th and finished 6th at Texas, leading 2 laps when he was looking for his fourth consecutive victory. So that hasn't happened yet. So if Scott Dixon can get his fourth, that'll be big news. Some interesting NASCAR news and notes now. Reagan Smith will replace Sterling Marlin in the number 14 car next week in Indianapolis, and Joe Nemechek has been released from his duties in the number 13 car as Ginn Racing continues its ongoing restructuring. In addition, Busch driver Eric Almirola will split time with Mark Martin in the number 1 car. The teams of Nemechek and Marlin have been beset by sponsorship woes, a situation that has forced the Ginn team, which came within just a few inches of winning the Daytona 500 in February, to step back and reorganize. The U.S. Army, which backs Mark Martin's number 1 car, is the only full-time sponsor that the Ginn team currently has in place for next season. On to the Champ Car circuit now. Heading into the Rexall Grand Prix of Edmonton, there was a three-way battle for the top spot in the Champ Car Series Championship. But after the checkered flag flew, three-time champion Sebastian Bourdais in the number 1 McDonald's car showed his experience by winning the event at Rexall Speedway and building himself a 20-point lead in the standings. As Bourdais flourished on Sunday, the two main competitors found nothing but trouble. Robert Doornbos in the number 14 Minardi car began the day as a points leader, but never found a rhythm during the race. Contact on lap 69 with Alex Tagliani in the number 8 Tide car in turn 1 forced the Dutchman one lap down, relegating him to an 11th place finish and dropping him to second place in the standings. Will Power in the number 5 Aussie Vineyards car began his race from the pole position, but slippery paint in his grid slot allowed Bourdais to get the jump at the start and take the lead in the first corner. Power then stayed right on Bourdais' tail until the first round of pit stops on lap 20. During the stops under yellow, Bourdais was blocked, pulling out of his stall, and Power's Team Australia crew took advantage, putting the Aussie Vineyards car in the lead. Power held the lead until green flag pit stop started on lap 49, and the Australian driver was the first to take service, thus giving the lead back to Bourdais. Giving up the lead was just the beginning of Power's trouble, though, as a broken piece in his steering assembly forced him back to the pits and caused his only DNF of the season. Next up for the competitors in the Champ Car World Series is the San Jose Grand Prix at Redback Raceway in the heart of Silicon Valley. The event begins on Friday, July 27th with practice and qualifying. The race will begin at 3 o'clock p.m. Well, that does it for another OSG Pit Stop. Up next, we've got F Troop. John Wilkerson catches up with St. Nick, which should be a pretty good interview, courtesy and with help from FoxSports.com. You're listening to OSG Sports Radio on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? J. Warren Financial can help you eliminate up to 60% of your credit card bills and change your life.
I used to get sick to my stomach every time the phone rang. Thanks to your protection, the bill collectors have stopped harassing me.
J. Warren Financial negotiates with your credit card companies to cut your credit card debt by thousands and take years off your payments.
My credit card companies were the same as loan sharks, charging me 30% interest. And there's no way I'd ever get ahead in life without meeting J. Warren.
Get ready for a toll-free number to receive your free, no-obligation debt relief consultation.
We were both working overtime just to pay the minimum on our credit cards. Now we're enjoying life again with our children.
Call now, 800-381-9629. At least $10,000 in credit card debt is needed. Not available in all states. Call 800-381-9629. That's 800-381-9629. 800-381-9629.
Homeowners, if there is a way to lower your mortgage payment by up to 50%, would you want to know about it? Of course you would. Here's the secret. Quicken Loans. That's right. Quicken Loans with their new exclusive Secure Advantage loan. Write this number down. 800-980-4933. Secure Advantage allows you to choose the payment you want every month. You can pay more if you want, or make a minimum payment that's around 50% less than what you're paying right now. That could free up all kinds of cash. Plus, with Secure Advantage, you can lock in a rate that's fixed for years. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-980-4933. Give them 5 minutes, and you could cut your payment up to 50% and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. You can get approved right over the phone, and Quicken Loans never has prepayment penalties. So call right now at 800-980-4933 and get the Secure Advantage. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call Quicken Loans at 800-980-4933.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio.
I think it's ironic that the Atlanta Braves head out to San Francisco just in time for Barry Bonds' pursuit of Hank Aaron's home run mark. Bonds sat down in Sunday's game at Milwaukee and should be well rested for his chance to break the all-time home run mark. Aaron has passed on the opportunity to be a part of the festivities when and if it happens, and I don't blame him there. In recent interviews, Aaron wants nothing to do with the Bonds hoopla, opting to pass the festivities because he says, as he puts it, he just doesn't like to travel that much anymore. I'll be very surprised if the Commissioner of Baseball shows up by the Bay this week, as the Giants host the Braves for four, then the Florida Marlins. Sooner or later, Barry Bonds will break Hank Aaron's home run record, but when fans mention the milestone, there will always be the performance-enhancing drugs mentioned in the same statement. For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
Tommy Palmer and, well, let's make it Poco this week, hanging out with us as Tommy once again puts us back on the line, puts us back on the clock, and everything is cool. Coming up, John Wilkerson, the F Troop, and he catches up with St. Nick. So it's St. Nick and St. John, a little help from the folks from FoxSports.com. John Wilkerson, Nick Saban, F Troop. When OSG Sports Radio Camp Porter Count rolls on after this.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-722-9020. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true,
true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-722-9020. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-722-9020. 1-800-722-9020.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor, but it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-909-4432. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-909-4432. That's 1-800-909-4432.
As they all relax in town before they resume with a bang and a boom. F Troop!
The F Troop rolls with the tide this week. John Wilkerson here with you. Since Paul Bear Bryant retired as head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, then died 25 years ago, no head coach hired since has come close to the Bears' status. And there have now been 7 that have followed Bryant. Now let's review. Ray Perkins didn't last. Bill Curry, run out of Tuscaloosa. Gene Stallings, he came the closest to the Bear, winning the 1992 national title, but it had enough after 7 years. Mike DeBose, overwhelmed. Dennis Franchione, got the hell out of Tuscaloosa for Texas A&M. Bear Bryant coached there too. Mike Price, one night at a strip club and it all went to hell. Mike Shula, like Bill Curry, run out of Tuscaloosa. Now it's Nick Saban's turn on the capstone. No questioning Saban's credentials, a national title with LSU in 2003, plus he's earning a nice paycheck, $4 million per year. One thing is clear, Nick Saban knows what he's getting into.
When you expect and your expectations to build something and to be something is going to be a difficult path, that the focus on the journey is not going to always be easy to get to the destination that you'd like to get to. And when you have that attitude, you have the opportunity to be so much more positive and invest so much more positive energy in it, because you're not always frustrated because you set this, it's not really a goal, it's an expectation of we want to be this, but you're not that right now. So you're not getting any self-gratification for being what you expect to be, so you're very frustrated about it. But your focus is not on what you need to do every day to get there, it's on why aren't we there. Well, let's focus on what we need to do to get there. Let's focus on the journey of what it takes to get there. And then we'll have the best opportunity to get where we want to go, because we'll get quality people who have character, competitive character, attitude, that want to do the things the way they need to be done to be successful. And when you get a team of those people, a critical mass of those people on your team, then you have the best chance to be successful, and they have the best chance to work together, and that's what we'll try to accomplish here. And that's going to be my focus. And the external parts of it, even though nobody likes to get criticized, nobody likes to disappoint other people, cannot affect your focus on that. So it's not a matter of just dealing with the negatives. You also have to deal with the positives, so that you stay focused to do the right things, so that you have the best chance to be successful.
Nick Saban's journey to Alabama began when he was still the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. With a rumor mill rolling that Saban was on his way to take over at Alabama, jolly old St. Nick was in denial mode with the South Florida press, which further complicated what at best was an adversarial relationship. When it was official that Saban was taking over as head coach at Alabama, the Crimson Tide Nation went wild. That enthusiasm was quickly cooled when the media and the Alabama football insiders were denied watching spring practice. Let's just say closing spring practice didn't sit well, and Saban's relationship with the Alabama media was off to a rocky start. Over the years, Saban has kept his media commitments to a minimum. Therefore, he comes across as a bad guy. Those close to Saban feel he's not being accurately portrayed by the media. Here, Saban explains where the disconnect is, and listen closely, because you may actually hear a genuine laugh out of jolly old St. Nick.
I feel kind of responsible for that. My wife, Terry, tells me, you know, the difference between how you think you are and how other people perceived you is your blind spot. And she says, yours is wide as the Grand Canyon. All right, so that's Terry talking. So Terry and the media kind of got the same, you know, idea about all that. But anyway, I think probably early on, I was anxious, nervous, not quite as engaging with the press. Not because I didn't like them or didn't want to be, I just maybe didn't know how to be. And I think through the years that changed, and I don't think that I was as misunderstood. And then this whole experience with Miami, the Miami media, the national media, and the NFL, and I'm responsible for how I handled that. And I tried to handle it in a way that was going to be best for our team and the players on our team. And, you know, personally, I wanted to make a decision at the end of the season as to what's going to make the Sabans happy. But at the same time, I was not going to do anything while I was coaching that team to affect the players on that team and give them the best opportunity to be successful. So, you know, I was kind of caught in the middle with something that I didn't probably handle very well publicly. And I've been criticized for that, and maybe rightfully so. But it's not really who I am. And I do care about what people think, but at the same time, knowing who you are, I think, is the most important thing about all that. And I don't want to be affected in a negative way by some of those things either, relative to my personality, who I am, and what we do and how we try to go about doing it. So I do care, though, and I do respect the media, and I give a lot of information, but you know, it's unfortunate for Nick Saban that his blind spot is so big.
It's hard to argue Nick Saban's track record. His 1 year as head coach at the University of Toledo in 1990, Saban won the MAC title. His next head coaching stop was Michigan State, where he never won a Big Ten title with the Spartans, but consistently had winning seasons in one of college football's underachieving programs. But the lure of coaching in the SEC was too much to pass up when LSU came a-calling.
The Big Ten has a lot of tradition, but the SEC, to me, is different because most of the people's passion is greater because they grew up relating to their school. I mean, pro sports was not as prominent 25 years ago in the South, so this was everybody's passion, and they identified and related. So to me, that makes this a fantastic league. I mean, there's a lot of great programs, a lot of great places to play, there's a lot of great tradition, the attendance, the enthusiasm, all those things make it special, and there's a lot of attention to it. Well, that attracts quality players, quality programs, very balanced league that has tremendous parity from top to bottom, and I think that's what sets it apart from a lot of other leagues is the balance and the quality that we have from top to bottom. I mean, no disrespect to the Big Ten, but most of the time there were three or four good teams in a Big Ten each year. They might, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State were pretty good, and then there might be another team or two that was better that year, but here there were eight or nine teams that were all pretty good, and you know, that was a challenge to play with the kind of consistency you needed to be able to sustain that kind of performance. And I think the accomplishments that have been made in this league, anybody that has won a national championship in this league, and I think there's four coaches now, and another coach who went undefeated and didn't get the opportunity, it speaks volumes to me because of the quality of this league from top to bottom and the consistency that it takes to be successful long term.
After two SEC titles and a national championship with LSU, Saban couldn't resist the lure of the NFL. So off to Miami he went. Saban found out that pro football wasn't him. I wanted to get back into the college game.
Every time I went to the NFL, this stint, a two-year stint, I longed to get back in college for whatever reasons. I don't know if it's the intrinsic spirit of it all that you know, having this impact or effect on young people in their development as people, as students, as football players, rather than just coaching the football part of it to win, which basically is nothing wrong with that in the NFL. That's just the pro game.
And so here Nick Saban is, back in the college game, coaching the most storied program in the South, Alabama. Give him time. The tide should be rolling under his watch. And that's it for the Elf Troop. Later we'll hear what's on Brian's mind from Cell Block H. But next, it's the kitchen sink, Stewart sink. Count Point and Count returns after this timeout.
We're talking with Paul Dow from Timeshares Only. Paul, I hear you've just come out with this great new kit that you're giving away?
Yeah, it's called The Top 10 Secrets to Buying and Selling Timeshares, and it's just a phenomenal resource for anybody looking to sell their timeshare.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it tells you what your timeshare is really worth.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, how to sell it for top dollar. Well, there are thousands of people out there just waiting to buy your timeshare. But you sort of need to learn the secrets to getting the most cash for it.
And the kit is free.
Yes, but it's only a limited time offer, so you need to call our toll-free number now, and we'll rush it right out.
Well, sounds like a pretty sweet thing for really anybody who owns a timeshare.
It really is. It could make you thousands of dollars.
Well, okay, the top 10 secrets to buying and selling timeshares. Here's the phone number to call. It's 1-800-514-4750. Again, that's 1-800-514-4750. 1-800-514-4750.
Do your joints hurt? Do you wake up feeling stiff and achy? Does arthritis slow you down? In Iceland, we think everyone deserves to live without pain. That's why there's a free bottle of Iceland Health Joint Relief Formula waiting for you when you call now. That's right, one free bottle on reserve for anyone listening to this radio station. Just call 1-800-504-8524.
I had some joint pain in my knees, and I don't feel it anymore. It's wonderful.
The arthritis has disappeared.
Iceland Health Joint Relief is a pharmaceutical-grade pain reliever that diminishes inflammation and pain, improves flexibility, and helps build new cartilage. Unlike prescription drugs with harsh side effects, it has omega-3 fish oil, so it's good for your heart too. We Icelanders live without pain. You should too. Call now to find out how to get your free bottle. 1-800-504-8524. 1-800-504-8524.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
So we've been through football. Now it's time for the kitchen stink, Stewart sink, the G-block. Everything normally that we would talk about might be suspended. We'll see how we go. But now, with Mark Harmon in action, Phil, an NBA referee allegedly fixing the outcomes of games. This is not good.
No. No, but there's some irony here, too, because this is the same league who has taken a huge public anti-gambling stance, first of all.
Yeah, but Vegas and organized crime are two different elements. I don't think you can confuse the two, really.
Well, one could draw...
Vegas is regulated. They don't want to screw the billion-dollar pooch. Organized crime, mafia, John Gotti types, I know the stuff that you watch on TV all the time. That's always underhanded under a certain level. Vegas has always been,
but they're also there too.
Yeah, but like I said, Vegas isn't going to want to screw the pooch with that.
Well, whether it's illegal gambling or legal gambling, you can't have an official fixing games.
No.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you know he could have bet legally, technically in Las Vegas, but as an NBA official, you can't be gambling.
No, Donahue gambling is bad, and they actually did an analysis of the over-unders of NBA officials last year. Donahue was third highest in successfully negotiating the over-under of all NBA officials last year.
Yeah. There's also a story today that's been out in the making the rounds that they expect him to roll over on some bigger fish.
My, what a pretty fish.
He might be relocated to Phoenix. He can watch the Suns.
That'd be the only thing. I don't know if they'd relocate him to Memphis. There, he wouldn't even be able to watch NBA basketball.
Yeah. Or Atlanta, no one would know.
Yeah, exactly. He could be plenty of good seats still available.
They claim 12,000 in attendance.
Yeah, well, they could nominate him several times over. John Seibel, Chris Sheridan, I'm from ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com, discussing merits of same.
Well, the NBA is now having to deal with somebody putting dollars on a game. And this isn't one of those point-shaving deals by players. This is pretty sticky. This is a now former NBA official, Tim Donaghy, 13-year vet, resigned from the NBA, handed in his whistle earlier this offseason, so he's done. Now he's being investigated by the FBI for helping decide point spreads of games. For more on this, let's go to the OnStar Hotline. Let's welcome in Chris Sheridan from ESPN.com. Chris, how serious is this?
Oh, it's about as serious as it gets. You know, there's never been a case in any of the four major North American pro sports of whether an umpire or a football referee or a basketball official being accused of fixing games or working with gamblers. It's unprecedented. So when this is all said and done, it could make the Palace Brawl look like a paper cut compared to the black to be did for the NBA.
Yeah, reading the New York Post story. No, by the way, Donaghy was one of the officials at the Malice of the Palace, which is somewhat ironic. But reading the New York Post story, Chris, they say that one source close to the probe counted the number of games on which that Donaghy and his wise guy buddies scored windfalls in the, quote, double digits. Now, how could have Donaghy affected the outcomes of these games?
Well, if a point spread, let's say the point spread for a game was seven, and the team that the mob needs to cover is up six, well then if they got a ref in their pocket, that ref can make sure that a foul is called at the end of the game, so that the team that needs to cover can go to the line, and if the guy makes them both, then you win by eight, and they cover. So it's not like having a player in a game, you know, in your pocket where a player can affect the outcome of the game by, you know, either by throwing the ball away if he needs his team to do poorly, or by, you know, putting extra points on the board in garbage time if his team needs to cover. If the mob's got a ref in their pocket, it makes it so much easier because, you know, the referee has a direct bearing on the outcome of the game just by through his ability to call fouls and put guys on the line. So it's quite a blockbuster of a story.
Is this scary to you guys in any manner, way, shape, or form?
Absolutely. And you always hear the running jokes, the refs in, refs fixing the game, refs fixing the game. That might actually be true.
Now, ref might be fixing game.
You know, in the NFL, at least you've got the replay if there's a touchdown or something that might be called or called back. But, I mean, the easiest thing in the world would be call holding.
Yeah,
you know, on a touchdown play,
offsides,
anything like that, and that's in football and in the NBA. You can't have any kind of doubt, any kind of shadow hanging over the integrity of the game. I mean, the Black Sox scandal, it took baseball till Babe Ruth came to clear that up. And, I mean, this is another thing now that David Stern is going to have to address soon, address, you know, to the utmost, to get the integrity restored and the confidence restored by the fans back in the game.
And the last thing that the NBA needed was something like this, of this biblical a proportion, because people are turning away from the NBA as it is.
Yeah, they're having viewership problems already. And to have this kind of hanging over their heads, that's not a good sign.
Not so fast, my friend.
Guy called me from Dallas, and he's convinced that this guy might have cost Dallas, you know, the playoff games. I mean, now every rabid fan anywhere can, like, pinpoint back
and
say,
tell me this.
Hey, you know, my team
he doesn't tell
got
you
screwed.
Everything.
And, you know, so people are out there, they're harping on this now, the guys that didn't win championships.
This is the guy, they've did a search of all of Donaghy's bad stuff. He called a foul 1 second in on Johan Petro during the jump ball on Yao Ming. This was the official that Shaquille O'Neal said in a series against Sacramento that the outcome was predetermined when he was with the Lakers. Shaq said that the outcome of this
Kazam
game...
Kazam sounding somewhat omniscient there.
Yeah.
He was like the Swami.
Well, he was, yeah, Kazam. And he said that the outcome of this game had been predetermined because this was the game where Vlade Divac had gotten all the flopping done successfully in the Sacramento series, and Shaq was fouled out, and Sacramento wins by 17. And he was also an official in the brawl in Auburn Hills.
Ah. And I did not know that.
Yeah.
And the over-under there was five players kicked out.
Yeah, but the under, well, he didn't make the over-under in that one. We'll see. Oh, and he also, irony of ironies, did an ad for a LASIK eye doctor service back in Philly.
Why is that ironic?
Official, eyes. Hello, can you see something? Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Fallout, does this guy get his name changed and end up in, like, Montana someplace by the time this is over with?
Well, you know...
Or does he end up with cement shoes?
If the mob is coming after him, you know, he better go to Montana. He better disappear or he will be disappeared.
No, I'm not 100% sure the mob is quite what it used to be, but yeah, he probably will disappear off the face...
Probably get him whacked.
He probably will disappear off the face of the planet at some point in time if he doesn't get convicted first.
3-minute warning. The rest of the kitchen stink. Anything strike you guys as weird this week in one way or manner, way, shape, or form? Like the university?
Why are you
was,
pointing at me?
Take it.
No, I thought you were pointing at him as he was being weird. What about the Wisconsin running back who got in the argument with his girlfriend over the cab fare change?
I haven't heard about that.
Well, actually, my wife and I were in Lake Geneva this week, and we talked about this. And I'm reading her this story, and I'm saying, what's wrong with this picture? And my wife is saying, well, he should have paid for the entire cab fare. What respective woman would have chipped in anyway? And I said, precisely, dear.
Yes.
Always agree with your wife.
Relay the story for Mr. Phil, since he hasn't
heard
it.
No, that's okay. You don't have to.
Football player gets busted. Because he and his girlfriend are stopping for a cab, but it's an in-between fare. All she had was a 20, and he's like, hey, you owe me 10. She's like, no, I owe you 5. They get into this big, large argument over it.
And they're no longer boyfriend and girlfriend.
And, well, no, probably. They're probably getting married in a couple of years. But they go into a convenience store, and he's so mad at her that he takes the 10 and her shoes.
Okay.
You know, I'm not sure if those shoes were size 13s or not, but, you know, he wanted the shoes.
Yeah, other oddity of the week, David Beckham finally getting off.
That's just, that's like Wayne Gretzky 20 years later.
Well, but is he really that big of a deal?
Outside the soccer community, no.
Yeah, outside of L.A.?
No.
But, yeah, we've been subjected.
Katie Holmes was there.
I want to work 13 minutes and get paid $250 million.
But
can you work
been...
on that?
Yeah, I'll work on that.
We've been subjected to an hour-long... reality show with his wife. We're subjected to an hour-long pregame show of just
5'4" and 80 pounds.
Yeah, scary, isn't it?
I was going to say, who looked scarier toward the end, but I was definitely going to go straight to hell if I mentioned who I was thinking.
Yeah, at least it wasn't windy there.
Yeah, no kidding. There was a prostitute that was busted in Denver. Male prostitute, 27, 5th arrest, complete and total makeup, transgendered thing.
Why do you know this?
Gets busted because it was news of the weird. I'm getting to my point. 5th arrest. Mugshot was taken. She was wearing a Colorado Avalanche sweater in the mugshot.
Okay.
Who would be caught soliciting wearing a Colorado Avalanche sweater is what I'm trying to figure out. That's like you wearing your Dan Marino jersey and trying to perform the same thing. Not that you would ever do that.
We're fighting here.
Well, that's something for Gary Bettman to investigate, you know, while he tries to, you know, raise interest in his sport.
Well, apparently the guy tried to raise $30 in interest in the sport somehow or another and got busted for the 5th time. Any last words one way or the other?
No, just going to be an interesting week ahead with everything going on again in the continuing saga of the Summer of 7.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll be following some reports this week as we attend Falcons training camp and get to experience firsthand the circus that is Michael Vick.
Mark, you have last word.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens on down the line now. The baseball trade deadline is coming up.
Who cares?
It'll be interesting to see how that all works out.
Vick's not getting traded.
No, and the Yankees will overpay for a bunch of players. That's what always happens.
That'll do for the kitchen stink, Stuart Sink, who did very well in the British Open, by the way.
Yeah, and had he not bombed out in the back end of the second round, he probably had a chance to win.
Next up, Brian in the cell. It's his cell. We're not going in. I have no earthly idea what he's talking about. It's his business. That's it for the G. Bye, Mark.
Adios, amigos.
Bye.
Till next time.
That's it for this week with us. Brian's up next. Bye.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
But what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-231-7911 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-231-7911. 1-800-231-7911.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French. But when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je voudrais le poulet et le riz.
Millions of people everywhere are learning new languages faster than they thought possible with Rosetta Stone software. And we guarantee that you can too. To prove it, we want you to try our amazing software free. Just request a free demo CD-ROM and see how fast you can learn a language. For your free CD-ROM, call 1-800-331-7525. Discover the secret to learning languages that U.S. diplomats, NASA, and the Peace Corps have known for years. And best of all, there's no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills.
If my friends were impressed by that, just wait till we go to Chinatown next week.
Experience the fastest way to learn any of 28 languages, guaranteed. Request your free CD-ROM by calling 1-800-331-7525. That's 1-800-331-7525.
It's On the Soapbox with Brian Eaves on Count Pointer Count.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Welcome back to Count Pointer Count. I'm Brian Eaves, your resident prisoner in Cell Block H. And this week, we'll call it These Things I Know on the Soapbox. These Things I Know. You can call it whatever you want, but Sergio Garcia choked yesterday. Now, it wasn't a Scott Hoke miss two-foot putt type choke or a Greg Norman blow up on Sunday at Augusta choke, but it was close. El Nino had only three bogeys all week long entering Sunday's final round at Carnoustie, and on Sunday, he had five. Garcia had a three-shot lead going into Sunday's final round, and his nearest competition, Steve Stricker, shot 74. The eventual winner, Padraig Harrington, even finished the tournament bogey-double bogey. Yet somehow, Garcia managed to let it slip away. Fear not, though, Sergio. The Ryder Cup is only 14 months away. We know you'll play better then. These Things I Know. When news of point-shaving NBA referee Tim Donaghy came down Friday, I was listening to Sports Talk Radio at the time. Calls were being fielded about Michael Vick, Barry Bonds, and the start of the NFL season just a few short weeks away. Not one caller called in about the NBA mess. That tells me either one of two things. The public doesn't care, or we all knew it was only a matter of time. As Bill Simmons said from the Evil Empire, it's like your grandpa smoking three packs of unfiltered cigarettes a day for 30 years and then finding out he has lung cancer. These Things I Know. It won't be long before we crown a new home run king. It's as inevitable as the point-shaving NBA scandal. But as I stated all along, I won't be watching. But oh, the irony if Bonds breaks it this week. At home, against Hank Aaron's employers, the Atlanta Braves. These Things I Know. With all the drama surrounding Barry Juice, the NBA, Michael Vick, and the choke of El Nino, aren't you glad the NFL starts training camps this week? Almost time for fantasy football, fall-like weather, and tailgating. It's just around the corner. The best time of the year is almost here. These Things I Know.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, The World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.